Good morning and welcome to Local Matters. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and I have Zach Buckner, amongst many other things where people know you and recognize your name and your face. We're going to talk about the District Creative today.
Let's do it.
Which is probably not something that you're very well interviewed about or
yeah.
You know, you don't promote this publicly much.
No, I really don't. It's one of those things I've been doing for over a decade, that is, it's just been word of mouth, or it's just been like on a client by client basis. But I was looking back last week, and I've had over 300 clients.
Wow,
which is nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, I it blew my mind.
So what is the District Creative? Because I think and I'm pretty involved in small business.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it took me a long time to even put together that it was you.
Yeah.
And I saw that, like, is this a thing? What is this? What do they do? So what is the District Creative?
Yeah. So we do a little bit of everything. And so anything that a company needs help with as far as marketing or branding, that's something that we do. So logo design, I've been doing a lot of web design over the past couple of years. We work primarily with small to medium-sized businesses.
And how do you define small to medium-sized business?
I mean, you're talking less than 25 employees, but we have the capability to do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's just kind of our sweet spot, is sort of the 3 and 4 person operations, or, you know, accounting firms or banks, or, I mean, very small firms. We kind of cover a wide range. I mean, anything from boutiques are some of my biggest clients,
probably
all the way to
IT companies. Probably a lot of people who are in the entrepreneurial world because they're passionate about what they're doing, but they don't know the whole entire picture of necessarily marketing or branding or knowing how important that is to help their business.
Yeah, it's wild. What's really cool is I'm able to talk to a client that doesn't know me and maybe our first conversation and say, hey, I've been where you are.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're going through. I know exactly the mistakes that I made and the wins that I had as a small business owner or starting a business from scratch. So, hey, I'm here to help you. Like, I literally know what you're thinking, what you're going through right now. So let me assist you and do the things that you're probably not thinking about, you know, social media management or graphic design, website design, print media, you know, all that stuff.
So you do social media management as well?
Absolutely, yeah. That's something that we've done kind of, I don't know, that's probably been something that we've taken on over the past like 5 years or so. But we do banners and business cards and all that stuff. After we create a brand, we also have the capability to help our customers get the materials.
Grow that brand into what they want. So you said that you launched a 13 years ago.
Yeah.
So if you can remember back then.
I'll try to.
You know, I mean, you were kind of a baby at that time,
yeah,
you know.
Still am in a lot of ways. Yeah.
So what were you, you know, you've always, as far as I've known you, you've always had your hand in 10 different pots. And so what made you decide that this is, you know, what else were you doing at the time?
Yeah.
What was going on?
So at that time, I think I was in ministry. And so ministry doesn't pay super well. Nonprofits in general, as you know, don't pay super great. So you have to be creative.
Into them for the money.
Yeah. So, so basically it was, I was like, man, what can I do for some extra money? And so I taught myself, self-taught. I went to Tennessee Tech and I was a finance major. So I had some marketing background.
Or finance.
Finance, depending on how high you go in the program. Yeah. I was a finance major, but you can get, you know, 0% financing on a car. That's how we always, but no, I wish I would have been a marketing major. I do. But I was so far into my major, I was like, forget it. I'm just going to finish. But after I got out of school, I did get interested in graphic design and started just kind of teaching myself how to do it. And so I was doing graphic design primarily for my job at the church. Right. And so, a good friend of mine at the time, Laura Canada, she said, Zach, you're really good at this. You should do this as a business. I was like, well, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, I'm okay. And she's like, no, you're really doing a good job. And she was one of the managers at the chamber at the time. She was in management there. And so she said, Zach, why don't you start doing some graphic design for the chamber? You know, and I'll sub out some work to you and we'll see how it goes. So I did. And that relationship really flourished. And I was able to develop some really neat relationships there at the chamber for years and years and years.
Well, and you decided to actually work for the chamber.
Yeah,
for a while.
Well, and that's how that came about, is after doing subcontract work for them for years, They had a position that they created for marketing and communications. And so George approached me and he just said, Zach, why don't we quit playing around with this and just hire you? Like, we want you full time, man. We're already subbing out anyway. You basically already work here as often as you're around and doing things for us. Why don't you just come and be in the office every day? So I was like, all right, fine. You talked me into it.
So you left ministry to go work at the chamber.
Yeah, sure.
But you still had, again, you're still having the district creative around and you're still kind of taking other clients on.
Yeah. So the district creative was the entity that the chamber subcontracted to. So I still continued doing that work. Now I never really advertised it.
Did you create it just to kind of have an official business for the chamber?
I was already doing, other graphic design work too here and there, but it's very few and far between. The chamber is my biggest customer for sure. But I created a company so that I could properly, run things through the right channels. And, as the chamber went on, I still did the district creative. I've always done that. That's something I've done for 13 years, no matter what day job I've had. That's been my side hustle, in addition to others like Roast and Sweetie Pies and all that stuff. But as that grew and relationships grew, word of mouth spread, and so I started to get other clients. And my relationships at the chamber definitely blossomed into other clients that I now still have to this day. You know, so I've had clients in addition to the chamber, 8, 9, 10 years now. So that's really cool.
In case you're just joining us, we have Zach Buckner with the District Creative in today. So as you're working for the chamber and they are advocates for small businesses.
Absolutely.
Did you ever feel like there was a conflict of interest of, I wear this, and we've talked about the fact that you have all your hand in a lot of pots, I have to put on my chamber hat. I have to put on my district creative hat. Like, was that a tough struggle for you?
It really wasn't. I never really had like an awkward moment where I was like, I was really careful. I never was like, hey, let's go have a chamber meeting and then promote my own business. I didn't do that.
But it is.
I was actually really careful not to.
Well, and it's hard sometimes I get that way about the Biz Foundry all the time. I get so passionate about what I'm doing. It's hard not to talk about things that you're
sure.
And you have this heart to help small business owners.
Yeah.
So you got to fulfill that through the chamber, but then also you wanted to fulfill it through the district creative, I'm sure.
Yeah, sure. And what's cool is like, although those things are similar and the paths crossed, it was never really an awkward thing or a weird thing. Cause it's like, those things kind of happen separately, or the things that you're assisting someone with in my role at the chamber were totally different.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't really pushing the same thing or anything.
You weren't doing memberships, trying to take people's money.
Yeah, no. So it worked out really nicely where I could still do that as my side hustle and, do that at night and, on the weekends and stuff like that.
So one thing that I think is really interesting too is that your family, the Buckners, have been here for a little bit of time.
Yeah. I think it's like 6 generations.
That's a bit of time.
Yeah, it's wild.
And so that, I'm sure, helps you with your clients as well, because you kind of understand the community and you understand, you have 5 children yourself, so you understand kind of a younger generation and depending on what a business is and who their customers might be,
absolutely,
you can kind of tap into a lot of resources here.
For sure. That's been really neat. So my dad owned a business while I was growing up, and so there are a lot of businesses that are still in business that he did business with. And so I know pretty well a lot of the companies that have been around Cookeville, Putnam County for years and years and years. Like, I've known them my whole life, you know, so that's been neat. And I've got a few clients who I just really have enjoyed working with, and I know that you know a lot of these folks, but one of the clients that really has helped me grow and who I'm extremely thankful for is Don Vire and Epion. So I've been doing their work for, I think, like, I want to say it's like 8 years now.
Wow.
It may be less than that, but it's somewhere around in there. And gosh, he's been so cool, and I've really loved working with him. And it's neat because you get to kind of be adjunct marketing staff for these firms. They don't have to hire full-time marketing. You're their guy, you're their go-to for anything they need. And so that's been a neat relationship, and I'm really, really, really thankful for Don.
Well, and again, that's a software company, is that correct?
So they actually do managed IT services. So they kind of do what I do with the District Creative for IT for companies. So instead of companies having to hire full-time IT staff and onboard them and pay benefits and all that stuff, Epion can go in and do what they do. The other thing that they can do is if they do have full-time IT staff, Epion comes alongside them as their staff.
So it's kind of the techie geeked out kind of a company.
Sort of,
where
yeah.
marketing is probably not something they want to
yes.
think about.
That's
it's
yes.
not creative for them.
Yes.
And so
yes.
they're not the creative types, they're the techie types.
Yes.
And so that's almost like an even better fit because your skills can really come out with them.
Right. And something that Don and I have said since the inception of our relationship is marketing for IT is not sexy. It is not sexy. There's not, you're not going to get some crazy social media exposure for an IT company, mm-hmm. right? So you have to do other things. You have to have top of mind awareness in other ways. And so that's what we've done. We've crafted a marketing plan for them that works.
Well, so how, okay, so you taught yourself graphic design
mm-hmm.
and you took some business classes,
right.
but that doesn't really give you the creative marketing mind. And so where do you think
sure.
you've kind of learned that along the way?
So I do a lot of, I say, I guess, self-taught, but I mean, I soaked up a lot of information early on from listening to successful media marketing companies or successful media marketing people. Somebody that I listened to a whole lot back in the day was Gary Vee as he was getting, he was blowing up and getting started. And I mean, gosh, so much information and knowledge and things came out of that. And then just, I'm trying to constantly learn and I'm talking to other professionals in the field, seeing what they're doing and going, hey, I can learn that. So I don't know, you kind of pick up a skill here and there and you learn what works and what doesn't work for yourself. And then you apply it to your customers. So,
well, and so why keep with it? I mean, so now
yeah.
you have a big boy job, you know,
yeah,
you have a
yeah.
real job.
Still doing the 9 to 5. Yeah.
You work for, Ford Lincoln of Cookeville
right,
is
right.
your normal day
uh-huh,
job.
Right.
Why keep this around?
Because I have 5 kids. So that's expensive.
Yeah.
And so, you know, no, part of it, if just being blunt, is the income, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's another income source. And my wife didn't work. She was a stay-at-home mom for the majority of our kids' lives. She's just now started working. So, I mean, it was kind of that's, you know,
yeah.
a necessity at this
yeah.
point. But no, it's fun, too. I don't want to stop doing it.
Well, and probably
I
at
like
this
being
point,
busy in this
you
way.
You probably don't know how to stop it.
I don't. I don't. This is great. Because, I mean, at one point I was doing a full-time job plus bros plus this plus Sweetie Pies. And this feels great.
Yeah.
So this is easy.
We'll be back in a second.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Thanks for sticking with us. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and I have Zach Buckner from the District Creative Inn today. So tell me again, so you mentioned that you do graphic design, mm-hmm. logo design, website design, social media services,
mm-hmm.
a marketing overall comprehensive plan.
Yep, absolutely. So helping companies develop a marketing plan in general and a branding guide, that's something I've done a lot, is making sure they have style guides and that they're set up for success.
Why is that important?
Because, I mean, I think
we've obviously
all,
I know.
Yeah, you
but
know
I'm
the answer.
Saying,
this is rhetorical.
No, well, I'm saying people are driving to work right
yeah.
now, and they're thinking, I don't want to waste money on that.
Yeah.
I can throw some colors together that look good, or I can, you know, go to Fiverr and create a logo.
Yeah. It's a science. Is the reason, you know, it's a science. It's the same reason I don't go do brain surgery, because I don't know what I'm doing, and I don't have any experience doing that. And I
yeah.
didn't, you know, I think that it's really easy to throw together and get launched, and it's easy to halfway do something just to get it off the ground, and you wind up with a logo you probably don't like, really. You wind up with a website that looks really janky, and it's the first thing that people see about you. You wind up with social media that gets halfway managed, and you post once a year, and mm-hmm. it just looks like you're out of business. And so why is that? Well, it's because you're managing your business.
Mm-hmm.
Business owners, I mean, I see it every day. they don't have time. If you are a business owner and you think it's sustainable for your for you to manage your website and you to manage your brand and you to manage your social media, you're not planning on growing.
Well, and even just the amount that things change, how quickly. So I, when I started with the Biz Foundry, I was doing the social media for the Biz Foundry. And now I'm like, I don't even know what the algorithm, I couldn't go in and manage our social media right off the bat anymore. I would definitely have to like learn and figure out hashtags were just kind of coming onto the scene at the time.
SEO.
And so I think that, you know, you need somebody who's going to stick with it and know how things change.
Absolutely.
And pay attention to those things.
Yeah. And I think, like I said, there's a science behind it. Even the colors you use in your logo say something about your brand. And so are you supposed to think about that as an owner? No. Let someone think about it. I tell clients a lot. I remember when we were building our house that we lived in for 13 years. We built it from scratch, and I was determined to do a lot of the work myself, right? So I started doing some of that, and I found out really quickly what I was capable of and not capable of, or what I could get done, and it looked like I got it done.
Yeah.
And I learned I will never can I paint my own house? Absolutely. Sure I can, and it'll look pretty good. But I will also never paint like a professional painter.
Well, and I'm guessing in the house that you lived in for 13 years, there might be like a trim piece that's still not painted.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what people do with their branding. Can they do it physically? Sure. They can get a brand launch. They can get their logo done. They can get merch, you know, together. They can create some banners or whatever, whatever, whatever. But it's not sustainable. You have to plan on growth. Your job as a business owner or a business manager is to grow your business or to better your business. And if you're thinking about 78 different things, you can't do that.
What's your suggestion on, so I feel like every time we get a new employee into the Biz Foundry, they want to redo our website.
Yeah.
So what's your, with branding, when can you do a refresh? How important is it to do a website refresh here and there? How important is it to keep it the same?
So that's a great question. So I would say this. I would say from a content standpoint, well, there's a lot. That's a big answer because SEO plays into that role.
Which you is search engine optimization.
Yes.
So for those people who aren't aware, it's when you type into Google, you know, branding company.
Right.
You want Google to find the district creator.
Exactly. And so what you want to do is not change up the core content of your website very much at all because Google needs to know where it's going, right? And your keywords that you're selecting for Google need to be in your website somewhere. So you don't want to change that stuff too much. But man, update your website. One thing I tell people to do all the time, and something I do almost inherently for any web design I do for a small business, is I integrate their Instagram feed into the website. Because you're updating your website constantly if you're updating your Instagram feed constantly. So there's fresh content, but you're not changing your core components of your website. So that's something I would recommend. Now, as
which, again, let me, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that that is helpful because then Google sees that that website is fresh and it's not just a dead, dormant website.
Right. And as keywords change, you can do a keyword search in Google. That's a whole different discussion, but you can do keyword searches as to what are the most popular keywords right now at this minute. And I would encourage you to do that or have someone who's doing it for you all the time because those things change. But and then you want to integrate those words into your website, into the content in your website so that Google sees it, quote unquote. Google's looking all the time. They're constantly digitally searching your site. But as far as rebranding goes, I strongly encourage my clients to take a chill pill. I've had some who wanted to change their logo every 2 years, and I'm like, don't do that. Or even something as subtle as keeping the same logo but changing their colors. And I'm like, hey, don't do that. You need to be known as you. And people, marketing is such a subconscious game that people recognize you when they don't even recognize that they recognize you. So I really encourage people to stick to their brand. If you want to modify it a little bit, a good case study for this is, and if you're driving to work right now, and you look around, you're probably going to see a Kia car, right? Kia, in my opinion, has just done one of the dumbest things ever with their brand. They have a new logo. Mm-hmm. Have you seen it?
Mm-mm.
It looks it's almost indistinguishable. You can barely see that it says Kia. It's so modern and cutting edge. They jumped from a pretty standard logo to a really wild logo, and it's almost one of those things that when you're learning marketing, they're just like, never do this. And so, but someone got paid a lot of money at Kia to do that. But for a local company, I do not recommend doing that. keep your brand as long as you can. There's going to be a point when you've got to modify, but I think that's more like a 10-year plan.
Well, there was a one point where I was out, I was at a friend's birthday party. We were all wearing yellow shirts, and I just had, the only pants I had were red.
Right.
And I put them on, and I'm like, I feel like Ronald McDonald. It just felt like yeah. McDonald's.
See?
With just the yellow.
Why?
And the red.
The
because,
colors.
Yeah, because it's, I mean, and that's been, you know, 100 years or something like
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
You know?
That's so. And you know, when you hear Coca-Cola, what color?
Red.
Pepsi.
Blue.
See, I mean,
yeah.
It's
yeah.
Brands have colors. When people
yeah.
think of Epion, they think blue. They
yeah.
think light blue and black. You
yeah.
know? So window tint company, some of my most awesome customers, I love the Petty so much. They are crushing it, and they have developed a great brand, and they're just wearing it out. It's
yeah.
awesome. They're making their brand shine.
Well,
so.
The other thing that I want to point out, too, is when people do an upgrade on their or try to even just tweak a little bit, So we've kind of had the Biz Foundry. It's always been the circle, but they've tried to change the blue color. And then on every single thing, you never realize how many places your logo is
yeah.
or how many places that exact hex
yep.
color is
yep. Yep.
Until you try and change it.
Well, and here's the other thing. As far as protecting your brand, you need somebody who's going to be a brand guard dog for you. And so mm-hmm. just like you mentioned, you'd be shocked at how often I work with t-shirt companies or sign companies or, you know, business cards or whatever, yeah, anything you're printing or you're putting your logo, even digitally. Say you're throwing a digital out here on StoneCom. It's so important that you have brand guidelines and people aren't stretching your logo or changing the blue in your logo to a different blue. It's so crucial that you have that brand rule style guide.
Well, and not only branding is not only just the way it looks,
mm-hmm.
but the way it sounds as well. And
absolutely.
So you mentioned, you know, doing stuff on StoneCom.
Yeah.
Having a commercial that has your voice to
yes.
it is such an important piece, which can go over into your voice on social media.
Absolutely. And so I'll use a company that's close to home for me for this one, right? Okay, we'll see, because I'm allowed to do this.
Yeah.
So when I was creating Brost, mm-hmm. I wanted Brost to sound a certain way. And what I call this is brand voice.
Mm-hmm.
This is your brand voice. So Brost, it was a fun bro up, like have a good time, goof off, not take yourself too seriously brand. Another great brand that pulls off brand voice is Sticker Mule. I don't know if you're
yep,
familiar
yep.
with that company,
mm-hmm.
but Sticker Mule is so cool, and they have great slogans. They have a look that is so them, and they're funny.
Mm-hmm.
And so then there are other brands where you want that corporate, very structured, concise voice.
Suit and tie.
Absolutely. So mm-hmm. you have to sound like your brand mm-hmm. all the time. And again, somebody's going to be watching out for that.
We'll be right back. Thanks for sticking with us. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry. I have Zach Buckner from the District Creative Inn. So we were just talking about brand voice. And so a lot of times with the Biz Foundry, we tell people almost to sketch their customer.
Uh-huh.
And who, you know, you really need to figure out how to relate to them. And there's almost like a psychology to that.
Oh, yeah.
Of really figuring out how to meet the needs of your customers.
Yeah, it's almost one of those things, like if you're marketing to everybody, you're marketing to nobody.
Correct.
You know?
So true.
So you need to know exactly what your customer looks like, and you need to aim for them and get laser focused. And maybe that's a couple different groups of people, but...
And it can be scary to get laser focused.
Yeah. Oh, it's really scary because you think I'm missing out on this big chunk of the pie.
Well, and so how do you convince your customers, your clients
mm-hmm.
that... It's okay.
Well, I think one of the first questions I always ask them is, when are you most profitable? What's your most profitable product
mm-hmm.
or service? Okay. And then who is that product or service most likely to be marketed to, or who do you want it to be marketed to? And then we start crafting a plan around that. But at the end of the day, a business has to make money. So
yeah.
how do they make more money? Okay. Well, then that means they got to get in front of more eyeballs or ears, right?
Yeah.
So
well,
how
you
do we
mentioned
craft that?
You mentioned the window tint company.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, some tint companies could be, we specialize in cars,
uh-huh.
or we specialize in storefront windows, or
right.
we specialize in frosted windows, or
yep.
you know, so to hone, I'm sure that they could feel like everyone's my customer, because
right.
everyone could use tint at some point.
For sure.
But, you know, honing in and almost figuring out, okay, let's master this customer,
uh-huh.
and then let's go to the next one, and let's master this customer.
Yeah, what's been cool is, so companies like that, they want to do well in both of those arenas. So in the window film, window protection film, so that's mm-hmm. for businesses and homes. And then on the car tint side, is easy, because everybody knows about car window tinting. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that, hey, I'd like to get my car windows tinted. That's been normal for many, many years. So that was easy for them to kind of get business at the beginning, and that's how they kind of got started. But then there was this, and I didn't even know it. What's cool is I learned with my clients. I learned their business, and I get in there, and I get them to educate me on what their products are. So, but I found out from Jason and Susie that there's this whole different world of commercial tenting and for businesses and homes and such a neat arena. And so we started pushing that direction at first, and then as that grew and got to kind of where they wanted to be, we sort of shifted back, and now we've got a new partner that we're working with window tinting, and we're going to push that for this year. And then now they've got new products with paint protection film. And so that's a new arena that they're doing. It's another genre of product that they have, and they're really pushing that now. So It depends on what they want to do. So as businesses change, you need a marketing company that's going to change with you and recognize, hey, I see that you're wanting to do this more. Is that true? Do you still want to do that other thing, or do you want to get rid of it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, we still want to do it. Okay. So it's like, you know, let's go 60-40 on this or whatever.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It changes from time to time. What you don't want is like a billion products out there that you're just lambasting people with.
Well, and you really have to help your clients, help these business owners speak in a way that other people can understand as well. So in tinting, they know all the terminology,
yeah.
They know everything,
yep.
And they know all their products.
Yeah.
But that can be overwhelming to the regular consumer. And so it's good to kind of have you come in there and help them have that right voice.
That's what's been cool too, is I love going into companies that I don't know much about the industry yet, because I've got to do research and I've got to dig and find out what's successful. What are other companies doing successfully in marketing in that field? But the other thing is I can step in and go, hey, Susie, Jason, no one knows what paint protection film is. Like
that,
you just said, you might as well have spoken Chinese to me.
Yeah.
I don't. And so how do I get that communicated? Or with Epion, it's an IT company.
Yeah.
There's acronyms out the wazoo.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we'll be in a company meeting and, you know, there's just acronym being thrown out. And it's like, hey, can you guys, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Because if I don't know, your consumer doesn't know, especially a small business owner who's pulling his hair out.
Yeah. Yeah. So you mentioned websites, and over the last year, you and I have talked a bit about this, and I feel like really great website designers are difficult
and expensive. Yeah.
And a small business owner is not necessarily going to want to spend $4,000 on a website.
Or 10 or 15 or 20.
So over the last year, COVID grant funding has come through. And so the Small Business Development Center has really been able to help people. The government saw the need for people to have websites due to COVID.
Yep.
And so you were able to kind of help some people that maybe wouldn't have, you know, invested money into a website.
For sure. That was really awesome. And man, I thought that was one of the neatest displays of government working for us in a really good way. You know, a lot of times we're like, hey, stay out of there. Let us, you know, let the market handle itself and all that. And that's true. But, you know, I saw small businesses that would never have taken that plunge who now have a really ballin' website.
Yeah.
You know? And they would just never have done it before. So it's been cool. I've been working with two different TSBDCs personally. Worked with Tyler Asher, our good buddy, a lot with this one. And then also been working with the Austin Peay one in West Tennessee a lot. So I've done a lot of websites.
And how did they find you?
Tyler and Lorneth, the director there, got to talking. And Tyler's like, hey, I've got this guy. He's cranking out sites left and right for small businesses. You need to talk to him. And so Lorneth and I developed a relationship. She's incredible. It's Lorneth Peters at Austin Peay State University's TSBDC. And I've actually had the opportunity during COVID to also teach some seminars for Lorneth and her clients on branding, marketing, style guides, you know, logo design, website design, all that stuff too. So that's been cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's been a neat phase that I wouldn't have gotten to do as a business owner. So it helped me as a creative firm.
Yeah.
A lot, and I know lots of creative firms that helped. It kind of helped keep them afloat.
Yeah.
During COVID. And so it helped them and it helped all these clients. It was really cool.
And that's right. I mean, you could have definitely, luckily for you, you've had other sources of income, but no one during COVID, when you got to tighten the purse strings, was going to invest into branding and marketing.
Right. No, that was going away.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you said that too, Tiffany, because there are people driving into work right now that probably are managers or owners of businesses. And the first thing that they always cut, the first thing they cut when times get tough is marketing. And of course, I'm going to say this. You're like, well, of course you're going to say that because you're a marketing guy. But I'm telling you right now, there's the old joke, like you have to spend money to make money. But it is a machine that you have to constantly feed. Mm-hmm. If you stop feeding, your marketing machine monetarily, then you're going to stop growing. It's just like, it's mathematical.
Yeah.
I name a business who stopped marketing that grew. And some of them did because of like government contracts or whatever during a specific period of time. But if you're really trying to grow and expand your marketing, even if you're not trying to sell something, you're still trying to tell people who you are.
Mm-hmm.
I work with so many clients. It would blow your mind how many clients I've worked with that say, we don't want any more business.
Yeah.
I don't want any more business. I had a home inspector that I'm working with say, Zach, please don't make them book calls with me. I want my reputation out there. Was what I want. I want reputation management. I want you to tell the story of how good my brand is, how reliable I am, how many years I've been in business. I want to look classy, but I don't want to sell more product.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're marketing whether you're trying to sell something new or not.
Well, that is a part of this too. Is you mentioned that you've been here forever and your dad owned a business, and so I'm sure your dad was like, well, people knew about my business because they were talking to each other at church.
Right.
So they didn't feel the old mindset is that we don't need to invest into this because, well, we all just, it's a small town. We all know each other.
Yeah. And that was the way that it was to a large degree, but every one of those small little baby grocery stores was running weekly ads in the newspaper at that time because mm-hmm. that was the way to do it. Right.
Yeah.
And so they were also having radio ads, and doing things a little bit differently. And so media has evolved. Radio stations and newspapers have evolved to more digital formats mm-hmm. now, right? So everybody's evolving, and so there's different ways to market. So if you just say right now, hey, I'm going to stick to my guns with word of mouth, like, well, that probably will do okay.
Yeah.
If you're cool with doing okay, then that's great.
Well, and that's kind of what you said with the district creative.
Yeah.
It's not your main form right now,
right.
So you don't have to go out and do a bunch of promotions for
right.
it. Because it has just kind of been consistently.
Yeah.
But if you did want to grow it,
absolutely. Like it's one of those things, of course, I've toyed around with the idea of just doing that, right? That'd be great to have, one thing to do.
Yeah.
But
someday when your kids are grown.
Yeah. And if that happens, I have to completely change my marketing strategy. So companies have to know where they are for that specific time and do something differently. Based on where they're going.
Yeah. So what do you think, what is next for the district creative? Are you just planning? I mean, you kind of said if you ever decided to kind of invest into that full time, but is this just kind of going to be status quo as a side hustle kind of thing that you're just?
At this point, it's kind of grown into more than just like a normal side hustle, but it's at a nice, healthy point for my family. And so,
do you
I'm
think you'd
looking.
Hire employees on to, I mean, you subcontract now?
Absolutely. I do subcontract now. And so that's something that's been cool is if I get too inundated, I'm able to help and collaborate with other creative people and get stuff done. The other thing is I kind of would love to hand this business to my kids one day.
I was going
to
say the girls are kind of getting old enough. I mean,
and Bella has an eye for design and she's a great photographer and she's just got a good eye for design.
Well, and they have like entrepreneurial, I mean, it's in their blood.
It is in their blood.
And so
I'd love to hand it over to one day, I guess in a perfect world,
it'd be cool if
I could hand a thriving company over to them when they graduate.
But you might not, I mean, you probably wouldn't even have to wait that long to get them involved.
Exactly. It's time like right now-ish to start getting them involved. And so that's something we've talked about already a little bit. It's like, hey, you ready to kind of start dabbling?
I like the summer, like the thought of a summer job being like, well, I was part owner of my dad's company.
Yeah,
I bought into my dad's company.
I was subcontracted at age 13,
So get Benny in there soon.
Oh yeah, Benny could market. People would listen to Benny.
How can people find you, Zach Buckner, or the District Creative? What's your website? What's your...
Sweet. So it's thedistrictcreative.net. thedistrictcreative.net, and it's just Zach at thedistrictcreative.net if you want to email me.
Okay.
And then you can find me on Instagram at thedistrict931, and same thing on Facebook at thedistrict931. Just give me a shout. I'd love to see how I can help.
And shameless plug, people, if they're looking for a new car, they can,
hey, that's right.
Find you at Ford Lincoln of Cookeville, and they can probably ask you about their branding while they talk to you about it.
Probably,
a new
I
car.
Try not to do that while I'm at work. I try to not
Listen,
let those wires
they can
cross.
Just say that Tiffany Anton sent them, and you can blame it on me. Don't tell Jeff.
Okay, right,
Jeff seems to like me enough that
Jeff
likes.
Yes, you, Jeff is fun. Jeff is awesome. I love my job there, and I would really like to keep it. So.
Thanks for coming into the. Hey, Zach.
Thanks a lot.